Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Ready to move on.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Most of the business world was more than ready to say goodbye to 2007, but there are going to be plenty of cautious steps ahead for this first part of 2008. And with that, no surprise the wrap-up on Wall Street yesterday was a little glum, including yet another triple-digit drop that became almost commonplace for 07. The Dow fell 101 points to 13,264. For the year, the Dow Jones Industrials finished with nearly a 6.5% increase, not quite the showing of 06 when we saw a more than 16% jump. The Nasdaq fell 22 points yesterday to 2662, finishing the year with a nearly 10% gain. The S&P 500 fell 10 points on the last day of 2007, gaining just over 3.5% for the year. So can markets predict elections? There are a growing number of so-called prediction markets where investors can buy shares in political candidates. If the candidate wins, so does the investor. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
The University of Iowa operates an online futures market called the Iowa Electronic Markets. Investors can speculate on which candidate will win the party's nomination. Tom Reitz sits on the steering committee.
So if you wanted to buy, for example, Huckabee right now, the asking price is 15.7 cents.
If Huckabee wins the Republican nomination, each of his shares would be worth a dollar. Reitz says the Iowa model has proven more reliable than polls in forecasting presidential elections since 1988.
We have compared the market to 964 different polls, and the market is closer to the eventual outcome 74% of the time.
Why is it more accurate? For one thing, Reitz says voters are more likely to lie to a pollster, but they'll be brutally honest when money is on the line.
In effect, the profit motive from the market gives you an incentive to go out and gather and generate data and forecast that may be better than the alternatives.
The most recent data from the Iowa electronic markets show Hillary Clinton with a big lead over rival Democrats, while Mitt Romney and Rudy Giuliani are neck and neck for the Republican nomination. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
In other parts of the world, the new year means new currencies. Venezuelans are getting their first look at the strong bolivar. The government is introducing the new currency to try to control inflation. In November, consumer prices rose 20% from a year earlier in Venezuela. And for Malta and Cyprus today, it's time to use the euro. But that wasn't so easy for the Maltese prime minister. During a photo op, he had to find an alternative ATM when the first one he tried to take euros out of wasn't working. One of the nation's harshest anti-immigration laws goes into effect today in Arizona. If a company knowingly hires undocumented workers, it could lose its business license. From the America's Desk at WLRN Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has more.
Dawn McLaren with Arizona State University recently took a road trip as part of her research into the economics of immigration.
If you go down our main highway to our southern border, you'll see lots of people returning home with refrigerators and dining room sets and obviously entire households. This indicates to me that they're not going home just for the holidays.
McLaren says this is a permanent move, and it's an ominous sign for Arizona's economy. The state depends on immigrants for 10% of its workforce.
There is damage being done to our economy. We are already looking at a softening economy that perhaps is not going to be able to just bounce back quickly.
The state already faces a labor shortage, and it looks to be getting worse. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers.
The Himalayan Kingdom of Bhutan held its first ever democratic election yesterday. The people of Bhutan voted for their first national council. Over the past several years, the country, once almost completely isolated from the outside world, has made strides to create a modern economy. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli visited one of those efforts, Bhutan's stock market. Welcome to the Royal Securities Exchange of Bhutan in downtown Thimphu, the capital city of this tiny Himalayan kingdom sandwiched between India and China. This place is nothing like the stock exchange floors you've seen in the movies. It's one room on the first floor of an office building with fluorescent lights and a few computer terminals. In the middle of this particular Tuesday, it's practically deserted. Only one of the nation's four stockbrokers is here.
Today, we don't have any transaction, even if it's a trading day.
That's Yeshi Ohm, a broker for the Bhutan National Bank. Trading takes place just twice a week, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 11 a.m., if there are any trades to make.
Somebody wants to buy 2,000 shares at 180, but there's no seller.
That's Kandu Ohm, the IT manager for the Royal Stock Exchange. A giant blackboard with little press-on white letters displays the latest share prices to visitors. Chief Executive Tashi Yeezer says the exchange has grown since its launch in 1993.
Now, initially, we had about 2,000 to 3,000 shareholders. Now, we have 16,000 shareholders.
And now it has a total of 16 stocks. The combined market capitalization of them all is equal to about $100 million. Consider that the market cap of just one American stock, Google, is $50 billion. At the Royal Securities Exchange of Bhutan, $2 million worth of stock is traded in a year. On the NASDAQ market in New York, $120 million is traded in a minute. Meanwhile, markets in China are soaring to record highs and millions of people are signing up for accounts there. Next-door neighbor Bhutan, with just 700,000 people, can never compete. But still, this market is a way for the Bhutanese to get a taste of capitalism. Broker Yeshi Ohm would like to be busier, like she was when she trained in Mumbai.
I think it will take time to grow.
Given that Bhutan didn't even have hard currency until about 30 years ago, its little stock exchange has already come very far. From Thimphu, Bhutan, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Happy New Year.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.